08493 1530 أو عبر الويب سايت عبر www.radiobaladi.com. صباح الخير بلدي، صباح الخير لكل مستمعينا في ميشيغان، وينزر كندا، وشيكاغو.
Welcome to Radio. And good morning and welcome to Radio Baladi. I'm Ray Hanania. And it is 2 minutes after 8 o'clock here on May 25th, the beginning of Memorial Day weekend. Our number at Radio Baladi at WNZK AM 690 is 248-557-3300, 248-557-3300. We're going to talk about a number of topics in the news. The big one, of course, is Egypt. They had their first elections, real elections. I mean, they've had, you know, phony elections like a lot of the Arab countries have over the years. But this one was real. And I think you might even consider them the first real elections in the Middle East. Although we could argue about the ones that they had, I think, in 2005 between Hamas and Fatah in the occupied territories. Or can you consider an election a real election by people that are under a military occupation? So there's some question about that. But these might be considered the first free elections in the Middle East, and we'll talk about those later on at the 8:30 hour. A lot of good stuff. All the candidates everybody thought were going to win, they didn't do very well. They did not do very well. But it does come down to what we, you know, usually find in Arab politics and Islamic politics. It comes down to religion versus secular. And the Muslim Brotherhood took the number one position, it looks like. And the Christian Orthodox cops seem to have rallied around a former Egyptian prime minister appointee of Hosni Mubarak, who some have called an Israeli stooge, because his big campaign is, he loves the Israeli peace accord, and he's going to continue to support it. And I'm wondering, wow, really, how many people in Egypt really feel that way? He must be, I think he's being funded by the Americans, because, you know, the U.S. is funded the Mubarak regime and funded the Mubarak military to the tune of $1.3 billion, actually about $1.5 billion. $1.3 billion went to pay the salaries of the Egyptian military, and all because they signed that peace accord and turned their backs on the regional abuses of Israel's government in the Middle East and the occupation of the Palestinians. So I guess for $1.3 billion, you can be an Israeli stooge. It might be worth it. Of course, the funny thing is the Israelis don't have to pay the money. That's the beauty of this whole thing. It's amazing. The Israelis get what they want, and who pays the bill? You and me, the Americans. What are you going to do? I know. I can just hear the Israelis rolling their eyes going, oh, are we going to talk about this again? Oh, well, what can you do? Anyway, our number is 248-557-3300. We're expecting, we got Ramsey Swayze on the line. He's going to be our first guest. He's been waiting, eager. He's been on for since a minute before the show started. Hey, Jim, let's bring Ramsey on. Hey, good morning, Ramsey.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I got like 10 hours of sleep, so I woke up just in time.
Well, that's like most Arabs. We sleep a lot, don't we, and wake up just in time? Is
yeah.
that what we do? Now, tell us a little bit about yourself first, Ramsey. When did you start comedy, and when did you give up the goal of being a doctor? At what moment in your life did you say, I'm not going to be a surgeon and make a lot of money. I'm going to be a comedian and be poor but well-known for the rest of my life. Go ahead.
I started comedy in December of 2010. I took a class with a famous comedian. And then, my dad's a doctor, but I was...
There you go.
To go that route. I got a major in psychology. Well, I'm actually 2 credits shy of a major in psychology, but still, I mean, my dad has a doctorate. I started comedy about 16 months ago, and I have a show of 300 people in June 30th. And that's basically what I do. I just go around recording myself and try to just try to get some good footage, you know, because that's what it's about today, is about getting a next YouTube video. And, you know,
and how old
YouTube
are you?
YouTube has 15,000 views, they start paying.
And Ramsey, how old are you?
29. I just turned 29 last week.
And you're from Chicago, correct?
Yes.
And are you, your Swayze name, very close to my family. We've married into your, you have a lot of beautiful daughters, apparently, because a lot of my family have married into the Swayze family. But you're Jordanian, correct?
Yeah. And, you know, I read some of this stuff in your book, which is honestly one of the best books I've ever read.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ramsey Swayze, my permanent guest host. From now on, Ramsey Swayze, I'm just making it official. He's going to be on my radio show forever just because of that beautiful comment about my book. Thank you, Ramsey. That's all it takes.
I have to finish it. It's just the way that you pull the reader in, you know, it's an escape from reality. You really, I don't know what you were, because usually when you're writing your first book, you're like, your self-esteem is so low, and you could see it in your writing, but you really have a very good hold on adults and about family, and the way you describe the 80s, growing up in the 80s, is just, I'm just laughing the whole time. You just, even when I see you on video and you don't even say anything, I laugh, because you just have, your timing is so amazing.
Well, you're too nice of a guy. First of all, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. It's tough being, as you know, Ramsey, one of the topics I want to talk about is how tough it is being an Arab in the Arab community. And because if you don't do the normal thing, you know, like be a doctor or, you know, be a grocery store owner, they consider you an outcast. And now being a comedian and, you know, humor was not an easy thing to write back in the 80s. And it's still not easy today, is it?
Writing it, no. For me, I came up with about, as you have on the website, I have 37 shows and I've never repeated a joke. And usually a show is about 5 minutes. And usually you get about 8 or 9 jokes. So I've written about 300 jokes, and they all came to me just in a couple of days, and I still have a few more sets that I wanted to do, so I've never repeated a joke, but I was able to come up with about 300 really solid jokes that come off really good on video. You know, my videos are doing pretty well on YouTube and Funny or Die. Actually, Will Ferrell emailed me for the video that you have on your website. But, trying something new, I have a lot of enemies, and it's strange because they're comedians, you know. And
the worst thing.
I want to play with coworkers, you know.
The worst thing is to be an Arab comedian in the Arab community. I mean, first thing that happened to me after September 11th was, you know, some of the comedians said, oh, he stole my jokes. And I go, well, wait a minute, we're all Arabs. I mean, who isn't going to have a joke about going through the airport and airport security? I mean, how could you steal that? You know, and then they won't help you.
Later, I'm still suffering.
Right, yeah. Listen, you started in 2010, you said, right? Was that because of September 11th still, right? Are you're not using that line, are you, that it's been 10 years and that was the reason you got into comedy?
Some backlash that I've received, I would understand, but I said about myself, I called myself, I pretended like I was riding a camel, and the first thing I said, you know, where are my Christian Arabs at? And everyone started laughing, and then I said, well, are there really any Arabs here? And everyone said no. And then I pretended like I was riding a camel, and I said, I'm a camel jockey. And, you know, when you make fun of yourself, when you make a joke at your expense, people laugh, and people laughed. And I've received some backlash from my own family from my uncles. But, I mean, otherwise, I've gotten pretty good reception from my own family. They've been very supportive and, really, really supportive. They're always at my shows. But, yeah, but like you said, since September 11th, there's a lot of stigmatism, and I hate to even bring that up. But
no, you got to deal with it because, you know, people wonder why you know, comedians are neurotic to begin with, but when you're an Arab comedian, it's like a double whammy. You know, it's very hard, and the community doesn't understand that. You know, they it's funny, they'll watch HBO and they'll watch somebody make fun of us and they'll laugh like crazy. But if an Arab gets up there and makes fun of himself, they get upset. A lot of them get upset, and they shouldn't.
Yeah, and I try to stay away from making those jokes at all.
Listen, Ramsey, let me give you some advice. First of all, don't let the Arab community define you and tell you how you should be successful. The best comedians are the ones that go with their heart, and I'm going to tell you what, 99% of the Arabs will love your comedy because self-deprecating humor is the basis of real comedy. For example, I don't like Sacha Baron Cohen's movie The Dictator because I think he's making fun of Arabs, and what I don't like about that is, who is he to make fun of us? He should have made a movie about being a Jew, you know, being Jewish, and about an Israeli dictator. And that's what she should have done, because it's okay for you to talk about yourself. And your best comedy is going to be what you say about yourself and your experience. Ignore those voices of anger and rejection. They're really a minority.
No, actually, a lot of my family agree, because it's mainly my fans are my family and my friends, and you know, a lot of us agree that. And I'm not trying to brag, you know, none of this is about bragging rights, as you know, but, Arab are the funniest. You know, I studied in the Middle East, and there's just something about Arabs. I'm not really sure what it is, but I mean, I when I'm around family, even in your book, there's just always that sense of, we just have a really sharp sense of humor, but there's always that, I'm not really sure that, you know, like, that warmth, and I've met so many funny people that were Arab, and I've been around other ethnicities, and I didn't think that they were as funny. We can't even help ourselves.
Right. We need to do more. We're talking with Ramsey Swayze. He's a young comedian, Jordanian American from Chicago. He's touring all over the place, and he has some shows coming up. And we can take some questions if you want at 248-557-3300. We're going to keep him on for about 15 more minutes till the bottom of the hour, and just get some background about, you know, why does an Arab turn away from the lucrative practice of selling alcohol into the inner city, or becoming a doctor to become a stand-up comedian, and then take all the abuse? It has to be. You know, it's like, I don't know, Ramsey, I don't know. Fortunately for me, I was a journalist. I have a career. Comedy was a distraction.
Sorry.
Yep.
Sorry?
For me, comedy was a distraction. It was like a hobby. You know, I have a career. But this is your main career, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, the first time I looked in the mirror, and it's going to sound cliche, but the first time I looked in the mirror, the first voice that came in my head is, you're going to be a comedian.
Wow.
I was just filled with so much purpose, and I was filled with so much life, you know, at that moment. And it is something that I'm not planning on quitting, although my dad says that the number one problem of comedians is that they don't know when to quit. So it's a very fine line. I've done 37 shows, and I've never repeated a joke, which is really impossible. The link that you have on your website has 200 people, and this goes along with what we're saying. I mean, my love for comedy, because they say laughter is healing. You know, it's like almost a free product. It's like I'm giving away, you know, money or something. But
right,
you know, I my cousin owns a Tinley Center of Arts, and I have to pay just to perform. I know. It's things like that that pull me away, that make me not want to do comedy. You know, I do get those racist hate mail. You know, that's the biggest thing. When somebody calls me and says, you know, watch your back, or some people say I add laugh tracks, and some people say
Ramsey, just ignore all those people. I can tell you the fanatics are a minority.
I know.
And they're a small group and a small voice, And all they do is they want to hold you down, because if you rise up, they look like the losers that they are. So what you want to do is you want to rise up, you know, and ignore them, because the majority of the community, people like me and others, we love it. And you know what? We're big people. We could have thick skins. We could take the jokes, and Americans appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break here at Radio Ballady at WNZK 690 Radio live in Detroit. You can listen to us online at WNZK AM 690 or visit our website at radioballady.com. Or, of course, you can hear us every Friday morning from 8 to 9 o'clock in Detroit, and that would be 7 a.m. in Chicago. At 8:30 Detroit time, we're going to be talking about the Egyptian elections. But right now we have Ramsey Swayze. He's a young, upcoming, and very funny comedian. There's a clip on my website at radioballady.com that you can watch. It's on YouTube. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back after the break, we'll continue our discussion with Ramsey Swayze. This is a comedian you want to watch, because I think he's a real comedian, unlike the rest of us who are doing it because we were afraid of getting our butts kicked after September 11th. I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Good news. As of November 17th, immigration has been given new instructions to review and close all pending cases. If you're in immigration proceedings, call attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Free consultation for Michigan residents. Mention Radio Ballady. For the latest in immigration law, Stephen Lagana specializes in immigration and federal court proceedings. Visas of all kinds, deportation, court appeals, open refugee status, and much more. All immigration cases are currently pending review. It's time to get the right attorney working for you. Call immigration attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Mention Radio Ballady. That's 617-283-1018. The American Muslim Center works for the community. It establishes goodness, virtue, and develops relationships between the Muslim communities as well as regional and national non-Muslim communities. The American Muslim Center on Outer Drive in Dearborn. Call 313-565-9314 or visit AmericanMuslimCenter.org.
Whether it's makluba, warak dawali, tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
Icon Computer Megastore. Mention Radio Ballady for great deals. Computers and laptops from $99. Apple computers from $129. Warranties included. Shipping available. Free layaway plans. Arabic to English keyboards, $5. Mouses, $5. Repairs for iPods, iPads, Apple computers, and PCs. Icon Computer Megastore on Greenfield, north of Warren Avenue in Dearborn. Mention Radio Ballady. Call today, 313-582-3100. 313-582-3100. Jake's Candy. Two for $1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sully at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
And welcome back to Radio Bellady. I'm Ray Hanania. Our number, 248-557-3300. We also want to thank some of our partners who support our radio show broadcast every Friday morning at 8 o'clock in Detroit, including Radio Aramica at RadioAramica.com. Listen on your cell phone at 712-432-8008. And, you know, if you wear a hijab, you could stick that cell phone right in that hijab right next to your ear, and you could be listening to us while you're lifting water and making stuffed grape leaves. Also, the Beirut Times, El Muntada newspaper, MC Gold TV, Sabil Media at sabilmedia.com, and, of course, the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs. I want to get them to write about this guy, Ramzi Swayze, because I think the Washington Report is one of the best magazines in the country. The law offices of Jumana K. Ruz at jumanakruz.com. Life for Relief, and a special thanks to the National Arab American Medical Association, Dr. Bassem Dubaibo. Ramzi Swayze is on the line, 248-557-3300. Ramzi, tell me about what some of your upcoming shows. Where can people watch you? I know there's a lot of stuff online that's just, it's phenomenal. And I'm going to tell you, before you answer, I think you're like the first of what I think are real Arab American comedians. You know, the first group that came out after September 11th did it out of reaction to the anger and hatred we face. And I think you're coming up in a new generation now, and you may actually be able to break that glass ceiling for us. So give us a little line as to where you're going to be performing.
Yeah, on June 12th, on Tuesday, at The Joint, I'm going to be, which is off Dearborn, there's going to be an Arabic show. It's an open mic, so if someone wants to perform, they can also perform. And then afterwards, they have some of the other names. So it's like a 2 or 3 hour show. And then on June 30th, I was invited to a graduation party of 300 people. I'm going to open for an Elvis impersonator. And I don't know where that's located yet. And then, I mentioned in Tinley, every other month there's a show. I don't know what day that is, but I have Facebook and Google Plus, and I could be followed. RamzySwayze.com is going to be up in a couple of days, but I have Twitter, but I always post all my shows, and but yeah, like you said, I do have a lot of material, and the only reason that is because every time I've gone on stage, I've recorded it. And on stage 37 times. And I just wanted to mention the link that's on your page.
Yes.
Yeah, like the June 30th show with 300 people, I'm just doing that to break my record. My record now, you know, when you go up there and you don't know what you're going to say, it's very nerve-wracking, you know. So that's I think that's what you mean about, trying new styles. And then
But that's what's really phenomenal about good comedians.
So when I went up in front of 200 people, and they were all Arab, you know, Lenny Bruce says a real comedian is to make the audience laugh every 15 seconds, and the reason why is because the attention span, it resets, you know, the attention span only lasts 15 seconds. So at the show, the first joke is missing, but I made him laugh every 12 seconds, and it really was, you know, I feel like it was divine intervention. I mean, I have such a deep love for comedy, I knew I wouldn't fail. But, I was really scared. And when I performed that show, I signed the contract, and it was 200 people that paid $20 a ticket, which is $4,000.
Wow.
Between four comedians. So I should have got $1,000. They only gave me $25.
Well, you're not going to make a lot of money in comedy, but I think you're going to – the way you're going to make money, what I found out is the clubs, they don't pay a lot, but it's a great place to practice, you know, get exposure. You'll end up getting invited to some of these big banquets and these big concerts and stuff, and that's where you're going to make some money. And you just may make it big in Hollywood, too, because I understand you do some script writing also, don't you?
Yeah, I won an award with the Chicago Screen Artists Network, and I won an award with Tribeca, and those can also be found on YouTube. And I have a DVD on sale. That's also on your site about the ear condition that's going on the rise because of the iPod and because of cinema and bars and whatever. The tinnitus is when the ear rings, and I woke up with it in 2007. I made a documentary about it because a lot of parents tell their kids to not listen to headphones, and that's, you know, and the kids don't understand why. I never knew understood why. So I made a documentary about having tinnitus. It's on sale, but it's also on YouTube. And when I went to Hollywood, there was a company, a Grammy Award-winning company, that wanted to buy it, and they tried to steal $8,000 from me. They wrote a contract that they tried to make me sign, and a lawyer from Creative Screenwriting Magazine interviewed me and put me on the front page, and they were beating out these thieves. You know, although this major studio won a Grammy, you know, they were still trying to steal money. Link is also on my pages that could be found, and so I've been trying to make headway since I was 19. You know, I've been in the arts. I'm very, very afraid of cameras, but I do like to direct. I have another film up for free, you know, that you can see on YouTube that I directed when I was in New York. This was in 2003, and it was funny because I was at a 2-week workshop, and this is when the blackout happened. So as you can imagine, my family went crazy because, you know, all of New York, all of Canada shut down, all the power outages. So I didn't get – I got to make a film, but it wasn't as long as I wanted. But, yeah, I'm definitely in the arts. I'm definitely planning on moving to Hollywood in the coming months. And I had 4 calls just last week. I think it's because of Funny or Die, my web series on there. That's Will Ferrell's website, and he actually emailed me on Tuesday, or his staff, and they said,
wow.
Video, yeah, I know, it's huge news. I don't know, I really feel way too modest, but the link that's on your website, that's the one that he said is nominated to be on their homepage. And he has this one video, I think, it's called The Landlord, and that got 70 million views. So right now, my video is at 960. Yeah, I know. It's kind of egotistical that I know exactly.
No, it's not. It's good.
And
listen, you can't rely on your mother to be up on stage, you know, and introducing you. You have to kind of push yourself. You got to let go of mom and all the, you know, the family. But hey, you've done really well. I'm really excited about it. And people out there listening, I know that Ramsey Swace, who's my guest right now on radio, his website is going to be up at RamseySwace.com. But in the meantime, you just look him up on YouTube. Just do a search for Ramsey Swace, 1S, ZY after Ramsey. And, you know, look at some of his stuff. This guy would be a great comedian if you're looking for somebody to put on stage to entertain. And I'll tell you, Ramsey, when I get a lot of calls to do comedy shows, and I don't do them now because they're just too many, and I really can't handle the internal fighting in the Arab community. It's like we hate each other. It's so terrible.
Ethnogenic.
Yeah, it's but, you know, you just get away from it. Go ahead.
You're much better than me, that's for sure.
Yeah, don't let it get under your skin, because you know what? The more successful you are, you end up raising up the other Arabs who don't like you, because you become the reason why they exist to attack you. So that's what happens. And if you weren't successful, they would just kind of relax and do nothing. But as you rise up and become more successful, they'll try to tear you down. And what you got to understand from it is feed off of it. You know, like when I get attacked now, I use it to promote myself. I go, hey, great, I've been attacked by these guys. And I'll tell you what, it exposes you to new people. So, unfortunately, that's our community. The only way you're going to get ahead is to be bashed by the morons. And but take advantage of it. Don't get upset. Don't get angry. Don't react to them. Just use it and build yourself up.
I think I started the next American Idol, because American Idol, you know, you go up and sing. I mean, there's a last comic standing, but I mean...
I wish I could get you into that. I wish we could get you into Last Comic Standing. That would be phenomenal.
That. But you wouldn't believe how many people email me, friends and family, and they're like, I need, and I've actually performed with a couple of my cousins, and they're like, I need to go on stage. I need to see how it is. And as you know, Ray, when you go on stage and when it's just you and a white hot light, you start learning things about yourself that you never even knew. You know, it's like you just start to understand the way the world works. I can't really explain it until somebody tries to go on stage But yeah, facing that fear, you really get to understand yourself a lot better. And you know, and you learn, and you know, you just become a better person.
And did you say how old you are, Ramsey? You said you started when you were in your 20s, right? Is that what you said? But how old are you now?
29 last week. I started at comedy when I was 27. Yeah, I turned 29 last week, and I got invited by some really big names to a comedy show on my birthday, and they're like, I promise I won't call you up. I promise I won't call you up. And then I go there, it's just me and my brother and a couple of comedians, and they called me up. And, you know, the video is also on YouTube. That's my last one. But this Arabish that I, this club of Arab comedians that I perform with religiously, you know, it's been 1 year since I've been with them. And that was the second to last show I did, which was last Tuesday.
They're a great group. Arabish is a great group. I did a show with them. And I love them, and I think they're phenomenal, and they're doing it the right way. So you're with the right group of people.
Really,
you got to get away from the people in our community that just hate, and they're the perfect group to be with. I'm glad you're working with them. Another comic out there in Detroit, a guy that I really like, is Mike Bataya. I don't know if you got a chance to meet Mike. He is just very funny, and he's a good guy. And I think he's Jordanian, too. I wonder what it is. Why are all the Jordanians funny looking?
Well, I mean, like you said, you know, your mom and dad are funny, and that's where we get it from. We get it from, you know, from the people that we're around. You know, I mean, without my mom and dad, I would not be funny. My mom and dad are the funniest people I've ever met in my life. Can you tell me how to spell the Bataya? I'm going to look him up.
Bataeh, friend of mine on Facebook. And, you know, he's a good guy. I know he'll help you. And he understands, you know, how tough it is in comedy, you know, in our community. Because, like I said, it's like we have a death wish in our community. We don't want anybody to succeed. If somebody rises up, we drag him down. You know, and I remember one of the first jokes I was ever told as a kid, and it didn't have any meaning, but I'm going to tell you, was that an Arab, a Jew, and a Christian were down in hell. And they went into the first room, and it was the Christian room. And in the Christian room, they had the bad Christian in a vat of boiling oil, and they had all these disciples with spears poking them down. And they looked in, and everybody goes, oh, that's terrible. And then they went into the next room. It was a Jewish guy, and the Jewish guy was in the vat of oil, and the devil had all these disciples with spears poking the guy back so he couldn't get out of the vat. You know, a boiling oil. And then they went into the Arab room, and in the Arab room, there was nobody. And the Arab guy goes, ah, we must be better people. And the devil said, no, I don't need to waste any of my disciples on keeping you guys down. You do it to yourself. So yeah. All of them were pulling it down, you know, in the vat of oil. And unfortunately, that's the way it is. And I don't mean to be negative, you know, but, you know, it's we need to talk about it. We need to get it out. And,
oh, you're 100% right. I mean, I think just a few months ago, the Axis of Evil, they had, you know, a group of comedians that did, like Maysoon Zayeddin Abdallah, they had a tour, and I think I can't remember the guy.
Ahmed.
He was at the Laugh Factory 2 weeks
ago. Good guy, yeah.
They did an Axis of Evil, but that was the first of its kind. I mean, and that's what... When you watch that video, that's what they say is the first of its kind, which is sad because we're in 2012. But I think now in the Middle East, just now, that they just put up their first comedy club. Do you know anything about that?
No, I have not heard about it. I think it would be great, but I'd be worried because, you know, in the Middle East, the English-speaking audience understands comedy because it is a Western thing. It really is. We have humor, you know, in the Arab world, but... not the same type of social satire where we make fun of our everyday life. We make fun of the politics. You know, back home, they're allowed to make fun of other people, but you can't make fun of the king, okay, because that ain't going to go over very well. You can make fun of George Bush and Barack Obama. We're on the line with Ramsey Swace. Ramsey, any final thoughts at all? Plug yourself. Tell us where we can see you again. You're in Detroit. You're going to be performing there, you said, soon?
I'm going to go visit. I have an uncle named Ramsey, and he invited me to go to hang out with him. He's a little bit north of Detroit, but I have a comedian cousin there named Ramis Weiss. He's only performed a couple of times, but, yeah, I would like to go out there. I have a slew of jokes, you know, that I've been practicing. But as far as plugging myself, I mean, you know, I have a web series. You know, you don't need an account. If you do see it, you know, you don't have to like it. You know, that's a really sad, that would be a really sad request to say like my video. But, you know, if you do see me on Funny or Die, I put my 21 best on that on Will Ferrell's website. And if you do see it, if you do like it, if you want to click funny, well, yeah, you could catch me since December 20 and 10. That was my first show. You could catch me every time I've been on stage since. You could use my jokes. I really, like you said, Ray, when you have a deep love for comedy, you know, that you just have to follow that. And, you know, if somebody wants to borrow my material, I more power to them. Because it's, as you know, Ray, you know, when you go on stage, it's about being funny, but there's also an act. You know, you have to be able to act.
Yeah, and you know something? The jokes about yourself and your family are so unique. Those are the ones that are going to be the most successful for you. Talk about yourself. Talk about your experience. Talk about your family. Talk about your people. And don't worry about those people who are going to get up and yell and say, oh, you're making fun of Arabs. No, we're not making fun of Arabs. We're telling the rest of the world we're just like them. So, and I'm going to try to hook you up with my partner in crime, Layla El Husseini. She has a show Monday through Thursday on WNZK AM 690 at 8 o'clock also. And she's very active in Detroit, organizing so many events. She's probably one of the most active people in Detroit. I want to make sure you hook up with her so that she can bring you down there to do comedy for one of the many events that she organizes on behalf of the community.
We live in the same city, so we both live in Orleans, so, you know, anything. If you need me, I have a smart car, so... You know, anywhere I need to drive, I get like 100 miles to the gallon. So, you know, anything I could do to push to raise the bar and to just get out there and to be with other people and make people laugh, most importantly. I mean, that's always been the only thing I've ever wanted in life is to hear somebody laugh. I don't care if it's my dog, you know.
Well, I have a comedy show in Chicago at Manny's Deli. I think it's in the fall, October 18th. It's a fundraiser for a pediatric hospital for Arab and Jewish kids in Jerusalem called Sher Zedek. So I think I'm going to find out if we can give you a few minutes on that stage. I think Mayor Rahm Emanuel will be there. So who knows? Maybe we can get you some profile so they can see you and it'll help your career. Because nothing would make me feel better than to see you on television, on national TV, representing the Arabs. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not going to be mad. I'm going to be really proud. And I hope that happens to you, Ramsey. I really wish you the best.
If I do, the first thing I'm going to say is, you know, I'm going to even wear a T-shirt. It's going to say, I'm telling you right now, if that happens, I'm going to wear a T-shirt. It's going to say, thanks, Ray Hanania.
And then you're going to get arrested. You say, you know this guy? You know this guy? All right, Ramsey, listen, good luck, okay? And I'm glad I can help. And please, you know, when you're doing shows, just let me know so I can help promote it. Because anything that, you know, that we can do to help each other, I'm more than happy to help you and any of your friends getting in comedy, too. Do what you can to help them, because whatever you do to help people, it comes back to help you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ramsey. Good luck.
All right, talk soon.
All right, we'll talk to you later. All right, that was Ramsey Swayze, really nice young comedian, very funny. You got to go to his YouTube stuff. Look up Ramsey Swayze, R-A-M-Z-Y Swayze, S-W-E-I-S. He has the right attitude, too. He's a young Arab, understanding, you know, growing out of this mentality in our community where we hate each other in our community. We don't want to help each other. You know, we see somebody do something, and, you know, you see a guy open a newspaper, and you may have never had any experience with the newspaper, but you want to go open one just to compete with that person and drag them down. That's how we are in our community. We don't want to be that. All right, it's 41 minutes after the hour here at Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania. Remember, my co-partner, Layla El Hosseini. She does a show every morning, Monday through Thursday at 8 a.m. Detroit time, called Good Morning Michigan. And, you know, Layla is an award-winning journalist. She got a great award. And every Monday, she joins Ali Yunus, the award-winning columnist from Washington, D.C., to talk about and analyze events in the Middle East. And they do it in the Arabic language. Friday here at Radio Bellity is really the one time where I focus mainly on English, because we want to just not just reach, you know, the Arabic community, but we want to reach, you know, the English-speaking Arabs and Americans to help educate them. We're going to take a quick break, our second break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the election results, the first stages. Looks like there's going to be a runoff. Maybe, I think they're saying in a little while, a couple months. But you guys stay tuned. Our number 248-557-3300. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue right after these messages.
SebilleMedia.com is a wellspring of media arts. SebilleMedia.com tells God's story through short films, drama, poetry, music, and the internet. And you have free media downloads. Go to SebilleMedia.com and listen to Nasheed, based on the Psalms of the Prophet David, for free downloads in several Arabic dialects of stories, short films, poetry, and music. Go to SebilleMedia.com.
Jake's Candy. Two for $1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223. Good news. As of November 17th, Immigration has been given new instructions to review and close all pending cases. If you're in immigration proceedings, call attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Free consultation for Michigan residents. Mention Radio Baladi. For the latest in immigration law, Stephen Lagana specializes in immigration and federal court proceedings. Visas of all kinds, deportation, court appeals, open refugee status, and much more. All immigration cases are currently pending review. It's time to get the right attorney working for you. Call immigration attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Mention Radio Baladi. That's 617-283-1018.
Whether it's makluba, warak dawali, tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes, from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
And don't forget, local stores, ethnic stores, and some of the big chains, you can ask for Ziad Brothers products, Ziad Brothers Importing. Go online at Ziad.com to get more information. But they have a new product, that phenomenal luncheon meat called Zwan, beef and chicken, very popular. Go to your local store and ask for it. You will not have made a mistake. It was fun talking to Ramsey Swayze. Not so much, I mean, listen, he's very funny. You go online and you could watch his stuff on YouTube. It's just phenomenal. But it was just nice talking to a good kid, you know, who deserves a break. And I hope that it happens, because, you know, being Arab in the Arab community, that's the worst thing for young people sometimes, because we don't support each other. and I think we should support him. So I put a link on my Facebook page. If you want to friend him, he could, you know, give him the support, help him out, do what you can to support him, because by helping him, you're going to be helping yourself. Let's go to the phone lines at 248-557-3300 and say hi to Khaled El Amina, I think, who is the editor-in-chief of the Saudi Gazette, where I write every Sunday. Khaled, welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you, sir.
And how are you doing? How is everything in Saudi Arabia?
Well, all eyes are on Egypt. I think the Arab world is looking at Egypt. Tunisia, they had elections. It's a small country, Egypt, the hub of the Arab world. And I think it's very important, a very stiff neck-to-neck race between the two candidates, Ahmed Shafiq, and then we had Morsi and another candidate. So I think it's all good. The good thing about it is that the rules and regulations of this election allow the candidate who will become president to be president for only for 4 years, and there'll be no re-election and not reinstating oneself. So
that's a new idea, isn't it, in the Arab world? You know, instead of presidents for life, just one term. Presidents for one term, that's unique, isn't it?
Well, I know it used to exist. I mean, unfortunately, the Arab world itself was a victim of its own mismanagement. It was also a victim of the Cold War, but we can't go on blaming other people. I think people have realized that they do not want to be subservient. So I think, yes, it's great, this presence of life or people who just love to cling to power. But now there are new players in the field. There are young people out there. They want to participate in nation building, to be passengers on the road of life and progress, not mere bystanders. So I do believe that there is a great hope. Also, the development of democracy was arrested by outside powers. And for example, I mean, Mubarak in Egypt was considered a security pillar and a stable pillar, and thus the powers in the West and in the United States overlooked many of the shenanigans he and his group were doing. But I think now people would prefer to have democracy rather than just have somebody who would, you know, try to sort of hoodwink the West by saying, no, I've got to be here because I'm going to be your pal and I'm going to see the stability, and there's not going to be any extremists on the horizon.
So people who are watching the elections shouldn't get so emotional, really, about who wins. The real winner is the process, correct? The fact that they're, for the first time, they got this situation where the Egyptians are going to elect somebody, whether you like that person or not. In 4 years, they can go back and elect somebody else. And we can get away from this thing about, you know, personality and start looking how the process makes it possible now to give the people of Egypt a voice. It's phenomenal.
Well, yes, this cult figure, this dynasty of presidents for life and their sons, I mean, they were, you know, presidential monarchies, because everybody would have his son lined up in every aspect of the game. But what really moved me yesterday when I was watching TV, and the camera came on an old man who was standing at a polling booth, and he was asked, how long have you been waiting? And without batting an eyelid, he said, 30 years.
That's great. That's phenomenal. On the line with me is Khaled El Maina, who is the editor-in-chief of the Saudi Gazette English-language newspaper. It's a great newspaper if you want to know what's going on in the Middle East. The website is saudigazette.com.sa for Saudi Arabia. What should we look for now? There's going to be a runoff. Are you surprised that it seems like the runoff is between a representative from the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamic movement in Egypt, and a remnant of Mubarak's old secular government, this guy Ahmed Shafiq? Is that a surprising occurrence?
Well, it's not. I mean, Shafiq is being blamed. I've met him once. He seems to be a fairly decent chap. Remember that he was handpicked by Mubarak in the last days of Mubarak's regime, so the poor fellow was put in a corner.
Right.
He was never part of the inner Mubarak circle. He's clean. There are no scandals around him or his family. He's worldly, and you would need that. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood, while they may be, free from corrupt practices in the sense that they are an organization that really evaluate themselves, are politically not that mature. I mean, some of their statements vis-a-vis their neighbors, other issues concerning the introduction of the Islamic ideology and other issues that were not so open. And remember, they also said they're not going to field a candidate. So that makes them a little bit suspect.
Yeah.
I had to vote today or yesterday. I would sort of vote for Shafiq, because remember now, the whole of Egypt, the eyes are open. There is no way a president can get away like they did before.
Right. So there's a lot of checks and balances now. So maybe, one day we're going to get away from the sectarian voting that we have in our minds. People line up based on who they are rather than what they think. Eventually, someday in the Arab world, we're going to be able to gather based on an issue, regardless of whether we're Christian, Muslim, what party we are, what our nationality is. I think that would be great. You think that is going to ever happen in the Arab world?
Yes, I'm pretty confident. Remember that the Arab world by itself is a very secular world, or was until 30 years ago, with the rise of extremism after the Iranian Revolution. Everybody wanted to outdo the other. And imagine, in the Arab world, you wouldn't even know the difference between a Muslim and a Christian. I know Christians who are called Muhammad, which is
the right
name. Yeah. I know Christians are called Al-Amin, and I know Muslims who are called Michael. So,
And Isa.
Isa, of course, is the name of our prophet, too. But the question is Benjamin or Benjamin.
Right.
It was a very secular world. And, I've got a grand aunt who's a Christian. And the funny thing is that nobody would even touch based on your religion. It's only in the last 30 years, and your listeners should know this, that because of this socio-political paradigm shift that happened, these things, people were sort of, being branded as what they were. Even in Iraq, when you think of this Sunni and Shia, 41% of Saddam's MiG fighter pilots were Shias, and they fought against Iran. So there was Arabism. It's only, right now, and I don't blame outsiders. I think there are vested interests in the Arab world who are trying to, curry favors with certain groups and assert support one against the other. But by and large, you wouldn't know who's who in the Arab world.
All right. My guest on the line, Khaled Al-Maina. He is the editor-in-chief of the Saudi Gazette. The website is saudigazette.com.sa. And I'll have a link on our website. Khaled, again, I would love to have you call in at my show Sunday morning in Chicago, and we can talk a little bit more about Egypt, and I'll send you that information. I think you got a great perspective, and I think that we are witnessing some phenomenal change in a positive way for democracy across the Arab world. So it is a great thing. Khaled, it was so nice of you to call in this morning.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you later. That was Khaled Al-Maina just giving us a little perspective on what's happening in Egypt. We only have a couple minutes left, but I want to say thank you to everybody who's been supporting our radio show, Radio Ballady, and especially to Leila El-Husseini. Remember, she does a show every morning, Monday through Thursday, called Good Morning Michigan, and we need to support each other, and I think you need to listen to her show. Every morning, Monday through Thursday. And I appreciate you listening to our show. I'll have a podcast of this show online at RadioBallady.com, our website. And I'll also have links to our guests and the ones that we've had in the past and the ones we had today. Ramsey Swayze really impresses me. Just has the right attitude. He got into the comedy because he wanted to do comedy. And his attitude is phenomenal. So I'm going to see what I can do to help him out and get him in that circle. And there are a lot of other comedians, too. And if they can just break away from, this problem that we have in the Arab community, this dislike for each other, where we won't support each other. We need to help people, especially the young people. We need to help them. When we need to do more to give them that edge, you know, to give them the opportunity, you know, to make it and to build a career. Because when our young people succeed, then we succeed as a community. And if we continually just beat up on each other the way we tend to do, the older generation constantly does with each other, then all we're going to do is hold us all back. We're going to drag us all down. And it isn't when people attack me, believe me, it's not me that they're hurting. I don't, you know, they attack me. They're hurting us as a community. You know, they're hurting the community. When a handful of goofs in Detroit, you know, attack people, it's not the people being attacked that are hurt. It's the entire Arab community. You know, by the way, in June, I think June 15th, 16th, and 17th, is the Arab Fest in Detroit and in Dearborn, actually, on Warren Avenue. That I'm looking forward to. I'm going to do my best, you know, to get out there and say hi to everybody. I get so many emails from everybody, and I was out there a couple weeks ago. I love Dearborn. It's my family used to go up there all the time, and I know I have some relatives there that I haven't seen in a long, long time, and I hope that I can connect up with them. So I would again urge you, please visit our website at radioballady.com, and also you can go to our other website at radiochicagoland.com, where you can listen to my Sunday show on Sunday mornings. I want to thank all of our sponsors and say goodbye. Or is that the signal to go? I thought I still had like 2 minutes. But I think I'll let it go. We'll just say thanks, Zia Brothers Importing, Jake's Candy, Icon Computers, the law offices of Stephen Lagana, the American Muslim Center, Beirut Times, El Muntada Newspaper, MC Gold, Seville Media, Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, the law offices of a wonderful woman, Jumana K. Ruz. I love her. She's a great person. Life for Relief, and Bassem Dubaibo at the National Arab American Medical Association, Layla El Husseini, and Radio Ramica, radioramica.com. I'm Ray Anania. I'll talk to you next week on Friday morning at 8 o'clock. I hope you'll join me. See you later. Bye-bye.